All right, thank you, Chris and Jan and all of you young people for helping us out this morning and being a part of this worship experience. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning, whether you're here in person or whether you're joining us through live stream. I'm glad that you're here in worship with us. In a few moments, I'll invite you to join me in our scripture found today in Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 18 through 22. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. But first, let me ask you this. Have you ever come to the point in your life that you needed someone, and that's Jesus? Have you invited Jesus Christ into your heart and life to be your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, it's my prayer this morning that you will accept Him as your personal Savior. Are you satisfied with your life? You've already accepted Christ in your life, but there's something that's missing in your life. Is your life all that it should be? Maybe you need to pray to God this morning and renew your commitment or recommit your life to Jesus Christ and follow Him and serve Him more. Or maybe you're in church in search of a church home to serve God together with a local family of God, the church. I invite you this morning to pray to God and consider joining First Baptist Church Windsor and serving together in service with this body of believers. As we think about your life, think about what God is doing, let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, speak to us this morning. Touch our lives in a way that we know that you're not only real, but you are present with us this morning. May we hear you, Father, and may we follow you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Remember this? I look around. I'm up on a stage and I look around. By the way, this is television. You look around and you look for someone that's wearing some strange outfit. Some are carrying something strange. And as I look out, I see all that, and I say, you know, I need a door handle. And if anyone has a door handle, come on up on stage. And suddenly from the back of the room comes a loud yell, "Hey, I've got one." And I asked them, I said, "If you would like an all-expense vacation, all-expense-paid vacation to any place that you choose, any place of your choice, come on down and run to the stage." They came running up to the stage, and you ask them that question, and they say, "Sure, I'll take that vacation. I'd be glad to." And then I tell them, "Okay, all you have to do is choose one of the three doors behind me. Behind one of those doors, it says it's an all-expense-paid vacation to any place that you choose." As I approach the doors, I look at them and I say, "Okay, you choose door number one, or door number two, or door number three. Which one will you choose to go any place that you choose? Which do you choose?" That popular television show, Let's Make a Deal, was on for quite a while. It's on reruns now. Well, no, it's not on reruns. It's in a little different format that used to be. But people's strange things that they would wear or strange words on their T-shirts all coming together in making a deal just to get a chance of choosing something, of choosing what would be behind one of those three doors. Could be a new car. It could be that all-expense vacation. It could be a mule. It could be a wagon. Or it could be nothing at all, just a blank behind the door scenes. You never knew what you were going to get until you made the choice, until you chose which door to follow. When you think about that, unlike let's make a deal, God lets us choose all three instead of one of the doors. No bad choices. The reason why is Jesus is the door. He's the door, and through him, we enter, when we open that door, we enter into a life of love, grace, and peace. So I ask you today, when you think about your life, when you think about your choices, which do you choose? You have three doors. One, two, or even door number three. As you continue your spiritual journey that we spoke about last week, let's look at these three doors, imaginary doors, if you will, for a few moments. We first of all come to door number one. And you have a choice. Do I want to choose door number one? Well, see, behind door number one, it says, Jesus calls. Jesus calls. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 18 and the first part of 19 says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And then 19 says, come, follow me, Jesus said. We see here in verse 18 that Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is a large lake. Approximately around the lake were 30 fishing towns. Fishing towns that had a lot of fishermen. So as Jesus walked along, he saw some fishermen and he walked up to the fishermen. And approaching the fishermen, he said this, God often calls people to places of dignity and honor when they are busy. Now that's a literal American translation. But that in essence is what God does. He calls people to places that have dignity and honor, and they're busy. They're working, but he calls them anyway. I can give you some biblical examples. For instance, Saul. Saul was out there busy persecuting Christians, finding Christians and putting them to death or putting them in prison. David was out caring for his father's sheep. Shepherds were feeding their flocks. Fishermen were taken away from their job of working as fishermen. Matthew was taken away from collecting taxes. Amos was taken away from shepherding and growing figs. Moses was taken away while keeping Jethro's sheep. Gideon was taken away as he was thrashing wheat. Elisha taken away from the plows. But you know, then comes you, me. We all have busy lives, but God still approaches us. God never encourages idleness, nor will he dislike people because of their specific job. It doesn't make any difference to God which job you have, which job you're doing. He looks at qualities and he sees patience. He sees perseverance, not easily discouraged, always ready to try again and again. He sees courage to stand up for God despite any hostility, as we studied this morning in our Bible study time. There's hostility that will face us as Christians, but with courage, we stand up for God. The German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this in papers from prison while he was in prison. He said this, "May God in His mercy lead us through these times. But above all, may He lead us to Himself." You see, here in Scripture says, the command is follow me. Follow me is not really a request. It's not really an offer. It is a command to follow me. And that command that Jesus makes requires a decision. It requires a commitment, a personal commitment to be with Jesus and to follow Him. A young woman wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she got the questionnaire in an application for the college. And one of the questions read, "Are you a leader?" Being honest, she wrote, "No, I'm not a leader." She returned the application thinking, that's it. They're not going to accept me because they're looking for someone else than what I represent in my life. To her surprise, several weeks later, she received a letter from the college stating, "Dear applicant," and her heart just sank. She said, "There's my rejection." "Dear applicant," it said, "a study of the application forms for admission to our college this year reveals that we have 1,452 new leaders. And looking at your application, we are accepting you as a student because we feel it is important that we have at least one follower." Everybody else was going to be a leader. Well, the command from Jesus here says, follow me in verse 19. And it's very simple. Your place is following after me, not in front of me. Now, that's pretty simple to figure out. He's saying, don't follow after me, or follow after me, don't follow in front of me. The old hymn said, "I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling, take up my cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I'll follow. I'll go with Him all the way." This simply means that following Jesus is the most important thing that we will ever decide in our life. To follow Jesus is to embrace the purposes for which God created us. And one of those purposes is to know Him. To know Him in a personal way. And then to make disciples of others by teaching them the commands that Jesus has. We find in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 5 and the first part of 6, that says this, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men." God never intended His Son to die on the cross bearing the sins of all mankind in order to worship one day a week. That's not why He died on the cross, just to worship one day a week. We are as much a child of God Monday through Saturday as we are on Sundays. True obedience, and it begins in the heart and the works. And it works this way. It's an outward works. It's an outward representation of Jesus Christ. But it starts right here. It starts right here in our personal relationship with God. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John were just average, ordinary men casting their nets into the water. Ordinary. Remember that from last week, that we are all ordinary people that God chooses for a purpose. Jesus passed by these fishermen and He called to them. He had four fishermen that were working in their business, very busy. And Jesus didn't say first to go. That wasn't his first word. His first was, follow me. Follow me, come. And when Jesus called them, they knew what kind of a person Jesus was, what kind of a man he was, and what kind of a man that they wanted to follow, convincing him or convincing them that would change their lives forever by following him. And that's simply what he says here. Follow me and your life will be changed forever. They were called to open the door. Open the door that behind that door says, Jesus calls. Follow me. Do you realize we may not be fishermen, but we're not any different than fishermen according to Jesus Christ. Door number one is a call to follow him. And he may be asking you this moment, follow me. Follow me as you have a new pastor and family coming to serve together with you. And notice I said serve together with you. Because Jesus says to all of us to follow him. And I suppose the personal question that needs to be asked this morning is, what about you? What answer would you give to Jesus when he says, follow me, that's behind that first door? Well, I said three doors. So first one, Jesus calls. Then we come to a second door. And we open that door and we find behind that second door that Jesus confronts us. We find in verse 19, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Note what it says there. I will make you. Whatever Jesus has in mind for us to do, he will make us fit in what he wants us to do. Their response, it was an immediate response. By following him, he would prepare them. They didn't have to do it on their own. He would prepare them. Again, we're no different. We're no different than what the scripture is talking about the fishermen. There may at times be a discontentment inside of us. And that can only be satisfied by allowing Jesus to transform us, to become a part of us. We become new people in him. The church has been tested in the past. Every church has been tested in the past. The present, the church continues to be present, tempted and to be tested, especially during this past year of 2020 and even into the new year of 2021. Not only the past, not only the presence, but the church, the body of God, body of Jesus Christ, will continue to be tested in the future. Committed followers have a desire to make a difference. How so? By bringing family, friends to worship with them wherever they're going to worship, by praying not only for each other as we have done this morning, but praying for the church, the body of Christ, not only the church, but the community in which they live, and being a part by letting people know Jesus is alive and is working through your life. There's a song that says, got to be read. Written and sung by Cheryl Lynn. And it says, what you find, what you feel, what you know, it's got to be real. A young woman was new on her job as a seamstress. Her thread one day became tangled and she thought, no problem. I'll just straighten it out by myself and I'll get it all untangled and fixed and it'll work. The harder she tried, the worse she made it. It just kept getting worse and worse. Finally, she gave up and she called her supervisor and said, I did the best I could, but it kept getting tangled. And her supervisor looked at her and said, no, you didn't. You didn't do the best you could, because to do your best, you should have called me, your foreman. Jesus confronts us. Jesus calls us. Door number one, Jesus calls. Door number two, Jesus confronts us. But then we come to door number three. We open that door, and behind that door we see that Jesus compels. We find in verses 20 through 22 of chapter 4 of Matthew, once again, at once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When Jesus calls, follow me, and his confrontation is given to us, in other words, a job description. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John felt compelled. They felt that need to respond. The call and confrontation simply required a decision, a choice to be made. Jesus' call motivated them to get up, to leave what they were doing. They were busy, but to leave what they were doing. Interesting, they didn't make excuses about why it really wasn't a good time, because they were busy. We too must be like the disciples and be obedient. At once be obedient. You might not be called to go overseas to serve on some foreign field, but you will be called to be a voice of integrity and influence of the community around us, the community of Windsor, Clinton, all the places that you go. You might be hearing his call to accept a role of leadership. You might find him leading you to an area of ministry, of service. Remember to keep in mind that Jesus calls not by age. He calls by a willingness, as Scripture said, immediately follow him. By following Jesus and working for and with him, we then receive the love, the grace, the peace that only Jesus can give. And he paid that for us on the cross. Would you allow Jesus Christ to call you, to confront you, to compel you? Again, Matthew 4:19 says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Max Lucado writes, when Jesus tells us to stand, let's stand. When he says we're forgiven, let's unload that guilt. When he says we're valuable, let's believe him. When he says we're eternal, let's bury our fears. When he says we're provided for, let's stop worrying and let him control. When he says stand up, let's stand up. The first command is the most important. Come, follow me. Jesus is alive. And after he says, come, follow me, then it's our decision to open that door of obedience. You know, greatness is not according to our ability. Greatness for Jesus Christ is regarding availability. As I began today, have you come to the point in your life that something's lacking and you need to open your heart to Christ? Let your life serve with him. Let your life be one that allows Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Do you have a personal relationship with him? It's my prayer, if you don't, you will. Are you satisfied with your life? Is it all that it should be? All that it could be? Are you in search of a place to serve? A place to join together with fellow believers? Again, as I said earlier, I invite you to prayerfully consider First Baptist Church Windsor and to serve together with the body of believers here. In a few moments, as God speaks to your heart and life, respond to God. As God reaches out and touches your heart, respond to Him. Because as that first door says, follow me. That's the first choice you're going to make. And then allow Him to control your life in Christ and serve Him. Join me with prayer, please. Lord, may we hear You. May we hear Your call. May we be obedient to You, to not only hear, but to follow You. Thank You, Father, for Your presence today. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As we stand together and as we sing, hear God, but most of all, follow Him. Let's stand together.